head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome in to another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, our first one in June of 2017. This is Rick Redding, your host for the last 204 weeks. I appreciate all of you who respond to me and tell me about what you like and don't like about the show. It's a labor of love. I tell you, I really enjoy it. And it's not all love. It is also supported by my sponsor. And those are Passport Health Plans. You'll hear from them later in the show. And my good buddies at the Eye Care Institute right down in Butchertown. On Story Avenue. Their number is 502-589-1500. Any sort of eye care issue you have, or if you just need a regular checkup, glasses, or contacts like I've gotten from the Eye Care Institute, give them a call, 502-589-1500. So, we just got off a big holiday weekend, and so lost a day this week. I kind of scrambled, but I came up with some really great guests. As always, I try to bring you the most interesting people in the Ville and also people who are doing something that's timely. And I really scored this week. If you are familiar at all with Shakespeare in the Park, you'd know that it is put on by a Kentucky Shakespeare organization. And the artistic director, the associate artistic director, is Amy Attaway. Now, I sort of missed connections with Amy a few times. I've always wanted to get her on the show. She has made a career out of theater right here in her hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. And I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from her and hearing about the wonderful stuff at Kentucky Shakespeare. And also, she's one of the founders of Theater 502, which is an independent theater company based here in Louisville. Performance all over the place. And they have one coming up very soon. You'll hear about from Amy. So that's one thing. And then the second part of the show, my second guest is Stephen Riley, who you may recall he was on this show before when he was a candidate for Metro Council. He didn't win that race, but he has gone on to something you might say is even cooler. And I can tell that Stephen is very excited about being the interim director of the Speed Museum. Now, you know that Guillaume Dumière was probably the most heavily accented Rusty Satellite Show guest ever. And he was on the show about a year ago when the Speed opened its new look, its new space, after being closed for 3 years. The Speed Museum is a true treasure in the city, and what they've done over there is really awesome, and they called on Riley to be interim director while a search for a national director goes on. Guillon had to go back native France, take care of family members. So, anyway, that's I think you'll be really interested in what Stephen has to say, and he's talking about a lecture he's giving on Thursday night, June 2nd. If you're listening to this Thursday, you can go tonight to the Speed Museum and hear this lecture that Stephen is giving. It is about his version of the South. It's called the Southern Elegy Public Lecture. Stephen Riley has collected and I got to see some of these. I walked around the exhibition area at the Speed this afternoon and saw some of these great photographs that Stephen has collected. He's a photograph collector, and all these are some 75 of them, I think he said, that he's collected over the years. Stephen has a history in New Orleans and really knows a lot about the South. So that would be a great thing to check out and cover. So I might go over there on Thursday night. But anyway, if you get a chance, make it. But the exhibition is going on, I think, through October. A lot of great photographs, a lot of great things to see. And you'll be really interested, I think, in hearing about what's been going on at the Speed. The numbers are great over there, and it's been a really positive thing for our community. So anyway, that's a big thing. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy Attaway now, but I'll be back with comments about things. Get you up to date on some of the things that are going on in Louisville, Kentucky, right after.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
Hello, Amy Attaway. You are the Associate Artistic Director of the Kentucky Shakespeare Festival. So, and have been doing it for a full year. And what about this great production you got coming up real soon?
Yeah, thanks. So the first production's not mine. I didn't direct it. It's Much Ado About Nothing. First preview is tonight, Wednesday. Opens tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay.
And it'll run for 2 weeks. And then my show that I'm directing, Richard II, opens right after that That runs for 2 weeks. And then we open Julius Caesar. That'll run for 2 weeks. And then for the middle 2 weeks of July, we run all three shows in rep.
Wow. And that's and this is all down at Central Park, right?
Yep.
Wow. So for somebody like me that doesn't know a lot about Shakespeare, sell me on going to one of these things.
Well, first of all, it's just it's beautiful out there in Central Park. Our amphitheater is gorgeous.
They've made some changes, haven't they?
Yep, many changes. This year we took down the stage house that had been there for 25 years because it was falling apart, you know?
Okay.
So we took it down and we put up a new set designed by Paul Owen from Actors Theatre of Louisville. He was there for 30 years. He's with us now. he designed this new set that sort of incorporates the nature of the park, incorporates the greenery, so it really feels like it's growing up out of the ground. That's what I think. Yeah. And then amphitheater, you know, we've got new benches. It's all very comfortable. Every night we have food trucks and a bar and our gift shop, of course. We have strolling performers. So when you go there, it really feels like this great festival oasis in the middle of the city park.
Yeah. Now, Shakespeare in the Park's been going on a long time, right?
This is our 57th season.
Wow, you don't look that old.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
No, we know you've only been involved in Shakespeare for a year, Amy.
So this is my first year on contract on staff, but I was here as a guest director for the past 3 summers.
Okay.
So this is my 4th summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how do you get to be the associate artistic director of Kentucky Shakespeare?
So this position didn't exist before. It's a position that exists at a lot of theaters in the country.
Okay.
They created this position recently.
Okay.
So I was here guest directing for 3 years. Matt Wallace took over the company as producing artistic director in 2013, and I came on as a guest director his first year. And I think we work really well together. He likes my directing, and I have a lot of experience in the administrative side of theater as well, and also in fundraising. So he brought me on to do all those things.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me a career in theater is an ambitious thing to take on. If you know, being from Louisville, Kentucky, and then, you know, somehow you end up like being in the career you love. You know, what was your path to doing that?
Man, it really feels like a miracle sometimes when I think about it, because I grew up in theater in Louisville. I grew up being a student actor at Stage One. I learned how to act from the professional actors that I met there. And then I went away to college and at the University of Evansville, which is a fantastic, fantastic theater school. While I was there and while I was growing up in Louisville, I always just assumed I'd have to go somewhere else to have my career, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then I wanted to be an actor. And then even when I decided I wanted to direct, I was sure that I needed to go somewhere else because I thought it's just, you know, there isn't enough here, you know.
But you just couldn't get away.
I kept coming back, you know. Okay. I left for school, came back. I went to New York for a minute, came back. And then I went to Cincinnati for a year and came back at that time to take my job at Actors Theatre, where I ended up staying for 5 years.
Wow.
And when I left there, I thought that I was going to be a freelance director based in Louisville as long as I could. And then when that didn't work out, or when I found another job somewhere out of town, then I would have to move again. That's what I thought, you know? Okay, I'm not going to stay in Louisville. I'm just going to try this for a bit, but then I'm going to have to move. But then, you know, Kentucky Shakespeare came along and offered me the gig for the first summer.
Okay.
And I was like, great. Okay, this will be part of my freelance gig. And then here I am now.
And here you are. And now I'm curious about, I guess it's an entrepreneurial thing in part. Theater 502 is your creation. I guess there just wasn't enough theater in town and you created it, right?
So I created it with two colleagues who, the three of us were all directing at other small theaters in town. We all had day jobs that we liked at that time. But we realized that we were all making this work that was similar to each other's. We had a shared aesthetic, and that we were all working so hard to make great theater at night for no money that finally we said to one another, if we're going to do this at night for no money, we should do it for ourselves at night for no money. Yeah. So we started Theater 502.
Sounds like the title of a play, At Night for No Money.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do. Yeah. So Theater 502, we started with this, with the mission of doing not quite world premieres, right? Doing new plays by American playwrights, second productions and regional premieres of playwrights we love. It's basically what we do.
And so that's you. Yeah, I mean, playwrights you love. Like, you know, I haven't been to Theater 502 performance. Where are they?
The playwrights?
Where are the performances?
Well, we're itinerant, so we can find us anywhere. Right, this production that opens on Friday, called The Comparables by Laura Shellhart, directed by Steve Moltz, opening Friday, is at KMAC Museum on Main Street. On their third floor gallery, it's a big, empty room.
Wow, I need to go there.
I've really not seen that. Well, yeah, I mean, the gallery itself is beautiful, but there's no art on the walls on the third floor right now, but because we're up there. But yes, we open Friday, run for 2 weeks, and it's a fantastic play with an amazing, amazing cast. We sort of like hit the gold mine of local actors with this cast.
Yeah, Theater 502, as opposed to, say, actors, which is more, I guess, international in scope. It has a lot of actors. They're all from out of town. Theater 502, it's local?
All local, yeah. Okay. All local.
Where do you get actors, local actors from?
We have auditions. I mean, there are plenty. There are plenty of local actors here. Same with Kentucky Shakespeare. We hire almost all local actors as well. We reach outside the community only when we can't find the specific thing that we need here. We only have two out-of-town actors in the company at Kentucky Shakespeare this summer. And Theater 502, we're all local because we can't afford to bring in anybody else, you know. Kentucky Shakespeare, we could afford to bring in a few more people from out of town, but we don't want to, and we don't need to, because the acting community here is really strong.
Okay. Well, it's really cool. I am going to have to get down there to see the Theater 502 thing and Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah.
But you've acquired all this knowledge about Shakespeare, so I'm gonna challenge you here. I see your shirt. You're wearing a shirt that says, "If I be waspish, best beware my sting."
Yes.
That must be one of your favorite Shakespeareisms. But do you have another that you quip to people that ask about Shakespeare?
Oh, man, do I. See, this is the one. This shirt is from The Taming of the Shrew, which I directed 2 years ago. And so this is the shirt from that show. And now I'm just going to talk for a little bit until I remember my other. Ooh, I know. here, this is a good one from Julius Caesar. The valiant die many times before their death. Oh, excuse me. Wait, no. Darn it.
Ah, we got it wrong.
Yeah, I got it wrong. The weak man dies many times before his death. The valiant never taste of death but once.
Wow.
Julius Caesar says that.
Wow.
I also like, no, I don't know. I can't. You put me on the spot. I can't think of anything.
Well, tell me about this play that's coming. Either the one you're directing, which is
Richard II.
Well, my name's Richard. I like that one. Tell me about that one.
So Richard II isn't a play that gets produced very much, but it's wonderful. The thing to know about this production specifically and about the play itself is that it's part of a tetralogy, which is a series of four plays, and which Shakespeare wrote as a series on purpose. So Richard II, Henry IV Part 1, Henry IV Part 2, and then Henry V, following obviously those three kings.
There's four of them.
There are three kings. There's Part 1 and Part 2. Those three kings in England, right?
Okay.
So, so we're doing all four of them is the exciting thing.
Okay.
Over the next 4 years. So we're doing Richard II this year to start it off. And because we work with all local actors and we're committed to being in Louisville and doing things for the Louisville audience, we're going to be able to have a lot of the same actors carry over their roles from summer to summer. Okay. So the guy that you see sort of usurp, it's a strong word, but possibly the right word, usurp Richard in this play, you'll see next summer as Henry IV.
Wow.
So, yeah, that same actor will carry through for the next 3 years.
Okay. So the Shakespeare Festival, all its performances are Central Park in the summer.
And they're all free.
Okay. What do you do the rest of the year?
So we don't. We've just, in the past couple of years, started doing indoor ticketed productions.
Okay.
We did Titus Andronicus this past October in a warehouse in Butchertown. We're doing that again this year in October, Titus Andronicus. We're doing it at the LVA, their new great space in Portland.
Okay.
We also have been doing plays in January at the Baumhard, which is, you know, at the Kentucky Center for the Arts.
Sure.
The place that people know to go for theater. So we did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead this year that I directed, and then last January they did Twelfth Night, which Matt directed. Yeah.
Very busy.
Yeah.
So you think Louisville, we got to wrap it up here, but Louisville is a theater town. Where
absolutely.
Are we?
Yeah, 100%.
Are we better than Cincinnati and Nashville?
Well, we're not as big as the theater scene here isn't as big as Cincinnati and or Nashville because our population isn't as big. But I would say the pool of talent and the interest in theater is just as rich as those cities.
Okay. And we have, I mean, they don't have actors, which is where you used to work. It's got quite a international reputation.
Actors Theater is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, so is the Kentucky Shakespeare Festival.
The Kentucky Shakespeare Festival is the oldest free Shakespeare festival in the country. We have New York's Shakespeare Festival beat by 1 year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, as we wrap it up, let the audience know how they can see both the Shakespeare and the Theater 502.
So, both, you find out more information on the websites. Kentucky Shakespeare is kyshakespeare.com. Everything in the Kentucky Shakespeare season this summer is free. And pretty much from tonight all the way through August 13th, you can see something in Central Park every night but Monday. So just wander over if you want.
Okay.
It's free, non-ticketed. Theater 502 is theater502.org, and you can find out more information about the Comparables, which opens Friday night and closes on the 13th, 2 weeks from Friday
okay.
night.
Well, sounds great, Amy Attaway.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure getting to know you finally. And,
yeah.
And thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And I really want to check out what's going on at Central Park with Amy Attaway's Shakespeare Productions. That goes on all summer, so there's no excuse for not getting out there. What a great atmosphere, and the new set and the new look of the place is something to see, as you heard from Amy in that interview. So thanks to Amy for being a part of the show. And before we get to Stephen Riley, I'll just talk about a few things that are going on in the world. I tell you, there's so much going on in the city this weekend that I want to go to, things that I'd like to do. There's a bunch of music. I'll just tell you, the Bats are home. They're racing at Churchill Downs. I am planning to attend the, you've heard about this on the show before, the Denim and Diamonds gala event. Jason Smith, the general manager of Gordon Biersch, talked about this because he is a big supporter of the Parkinson Support Center. And this is taking place out at Locust Grove. You get to dress up as cowboys, and it's called the Denim and Diamonds Gala. It should be a blast, I tell you. It ought to be fun. One of many things. The other thing I'm planning on doing that I've had associated with the show, as you've heard last week from Todd Antz and Eric Morris over in New Albany, the Fest of Ale. It's what a great event. You can see it from the riverfront in New Albany, right off the Sherman Minton Bridge. It is. I went last year, and we got a lot of rain, but we still had a ball. And there's a great after party at the Gospel Bird, a local restaurant over there that Eric runs. So those are just two of the many events that you could participate in taking place this weekend. It's really, really good. I think, but almost every weekend here in Louisville is got something going on that's worth doing. I often spend a little bit of this time on the show talking about some of the things in the news, big stories, small stories, the ones that get my attention. I guess you saw the big news that came out on Wednesday is that Kroger is ending its senior discount program. Can you believe that? I mean, we all have made jokes about going to Kroger on Senior Citizens Day and not being able to get through the crowds of walkers and wheelchairs and all that. We've all made those jokes. Well, no more. Of course, Kroger's PR spin is that they're going to slash prices on 3,000 items so that everybody, not just seniors, enjoys cheaper groceries. Let's hope that that's the case. But anyway, I think people make a lot of a big deal about nothing there. But anyway, it affects a lot of people. So that's what's headlining the news as we talk on Wednesday afternoon. Another thing I want to talk about was something that just came out, and this is relevant to our city. Greater Louisville Inc. organization, in conjunction with some research folks, have come up with a list of jobs that are most sought by employers. And you can find this story on Louisville KY, the pulse of the city, louisvilleky.com. Here's the jobs that are most sought by employers here in town. Registered nurses, general and operations managers, sales reps, wholesale and manufacturing, accountants and auditors, and business operations specialists. Those are the top five. You know, all those college graduates you got coming in, you know about. Certainly you could steer them in those directions, or high school graduates that are going on to college. That would be the way to go. So I don't know. And the other interesting thing about the study showed where people who moved to Louisville, this group is trying to get people to move to Louisville, and the hot places for people to come here from are Nashville, Indianapolis, Des Moines, Iowa, Chicago, and Columbia, South Carolina, of all places. Can you believe that? Yeah, this is totally random, but I did hear, speaking of Nashville, they're predators if you're into hockey. I saw this clip on the news. Somebody threw a fish on the ice over the weekend, but in one of the games. But they're in the Stanley Cup, and I heard from a source that the ticket prices down there are just outrageous. They're like, you know, $1,000 for cheap seats to a hockey game, if you can believe it. So anyway, it's certainly a successful thing for Nashville. Good for them that they're having some success. Who would have thought NHL, the professional hockey in Nashville, Tennessee? Anyway, that's what's going on there. I would tell you that over the weekend, I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. There was like going on here. I went to the lake, and I missed out on all the goodies here in town. And you know, I don't know. I'm not really that much of a lake guy, I guess. But we went out there and spent a few days on the boat and hung out I don't know if you've ever been down. We went to Lake Cumberland. Lake Cumberland is a beautiful place. Here's the things that surprised me. You know, the times I've been to lakes, it's always like a bunch of boats and out there with people skiing. I hardly saw anybody skiing, but the boats were nicer. The boats were really nice out there at Lake Cumberland. People spent a lot of money on their boats, and they basically go find a cove and they park their boat and they connect their boat by rope to other boats, and so you get this big line of people and a lot of loud music, and you can jump in and out of the water. But the main activity is drinking. I'll tell you, if somebody tells you they're going to the lake, that means they're going away to drink. That seems to be the preferred activity of people that go to the lake. So anyway, it was a ball. I had some fun, and got back and got cracking on a lot of stuff, including this show. I was happy that Amy Attaway and Stephen Riley both were able to set up their interviews on short notice. So I have always been interested in the Speed Museum, especially after its 2 or 3 years that it was closed. It opened back up last year, and Guillaume Dumière was this eccentric director of the museum and a storied figure around here. Laura, the PR person over there, told me that Guillaume was in town for the Derby and enjoyed himself, and then has recently just gone back to France. So that's what's going on with him. But Stephen Riley, as you know, is a great entrepreneur, very well educated, smart guy, and I was just interested in talking to him after I read that it was his photographs that he's collected over the years that are on display up there in the new collection at the Speed. It's something worth going to see, and I do hope, you know, if by chance you're listening to this on Thursday, you get a chance to go out to the Speed and listen to his lecture on things having to do with the South. That was a news story related to this thing. I'm just rambling a little bit, but a big part of the South and these is the Confederacy and the Confederate monument. And all over the South, there are Confederate monuments that have been taken down, just like the one in Louisville on the U of L campus, right outside the Speed Museum. And Steve mentions it in the interview, but I found it interesting that I saw a news story that this weekend, this last weekend, they displayed that Confederate monument down in Brandenburg. They put it up. They found a place to put it, and the people in Brandenburg were all happy, and they're celebrating the Confederacy, I suppose, and there were very little protests about it. So I don't know. I certainly feel, I had a long discussion with my son Luke about this. You know, if there's a symbol of the Confederacy, and the Confederacy is a symbol of slavery, I can't imagine celebrating it, knowing that it is offensive to a large group of people. But that's my view. There are a lot of defenders of this. There have been big fights all over the country, especially in New Orleans, over Confederate monuments. And, we've had the Confederate flag. And, you go out in the country and there's all these Confederate flags. And I don't know. Not my thing, I guess. But anyway, they have, if you want to go see that monument that used to be down on 3rd Street on U of L's campus, you can go to Brandenburg and take a look. So anyway, I'm off the subject a little bit. I want to get back to Stephen Riley. I really enjoyed the interview. He's very busy, but he found 15 minutes to come talk to me at the Speed. So take a listen, and I'll be back to close the show right after
this. Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at the Speed Museum, and I'm with the Stephen Riley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
No stranger to the Rusty Satellite Show, but you were in a quite different role the other time we met.
I sure am. 60 days ago, I took this new position as the Speed's interim director when Guylain Dumière, who was a good friend, is a good friend, and did a phenomenal job rebuilding this place and opening it up to the community in a new way,
sure,
decided he needed to be home with his family for health reasons in France. The board asked me if I would step in, and after a little bit of thinking, I decided that it felt like a good fit.
Well, I'm curious about the fit because, I know you as an entrepreneur, doing a lot of things in the community, but not as a director of a museum. Is that sort of a leap for you, or did you feel like you could just jump right in?
You could call it that, yeah. I've been pretty involved in this museum's life since I moved here in the mid-90s. At that time, I joined the board and was on it for 10 years. So I haven't been involved in day-to-day. I've been supportive and very close to its leaders since then. So I'm an excited supporter of it. But, the Speed, with our reopening in March of 2016, I like to say that we're both 90 years old and 1 year old. So the project at hand for the Speed right now is actually a lot more like running a startup.
Okay.
Than most people would think an $8 million, 90-year-old museum would be like in a community. We have we doubled our space. We are, have a capacity to engage the community in entirely new ways. We're putting on shows of a whole different kind of scale and impact than we did before. We're trying to figure out how to market that message to the community. So in that sense, we're doing a lot of things online, mm-hmm, and digitally, which is a space I'm very comfortable with. So in that sense, it's another startup with an amazing foundation for me to get to work with.
Sure. And let me ask you about the difference in the transition. One more question. The businesses you were running, you left in someone else's hands, or you just trying to work real hard?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, this is a full-time job for me at the Speed. I do have great people running the other businesses I've started right now. In fact, we just put a great person, Joe Pierce, with great digital marketing experience in Louisville, and startups himself took over running Vibrant Nation, my influencer marketing business. So they're in good hands. I check in with them a couple mornings a week, but I'm full speed ahead here.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Well, not at all. Well, so it's full-time work, but it's an interim position, right? So you're I understand you're in it for 18 months.
I told the board that, of course, that's up to them, that I would commit up to 18 months, which sees them through two full fiscal years after the reopening. Also gives them a time. Museum searches for permanent directors are a national process and usually take 9 to 12 months themselves to carry out. So it seemed to fit both my availability and their needs.
Okay.
Well.
Okay. Will you be involved in the search for the new guy?
That I don't expect to be. No, that's really a board function.
Okay.
And my job is going to be working here to get the institution in amazing shape for that person to take on and work with the people here. You know, one of the things I've been amazed by is just the quality and devotion of the staff here. There's not just an extraordinary team of senior leaders in curatorial and education and development work, but everybody who works here, over 100 people, I have to say, it shouldn't be a surprise, but it has been that they love working here. They want to work in a museum and make a difference in its community through art.
Certainly. Well, I tell you, from the curb appeal and the changes, I mean, it's spectacular seeing it from Third Street, and I think everybody's certainly pleased with that. Let's talk about the
Can I just say one thing? Because
sure.
The community seems to agree with that. I'll say that one of the lucky things, I started right after we finished our first full year of operations in the new building, so we were able to look back and count, which I like doing, and we measured that we had welcomed over 130,000 people to the museum in the first year. Which is a wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's also more than 74% more than we welcomed in the years each year of the years before we closed for renovation. So we're not only bigger but stronger than ever.
And I know the free Sundays is still going on, right? So people, a lot of people take advantage of that.
They are. In fact, of our regular admissions, not school groups or people coming for an event, half of the regular admissions are coming on Sundays.
Okay.
Sundays, as a result, are just phenomenal. They're people of every generation in every gallery enjoying the speed their way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our challenge now is how to figure out how to make every day look like Sunday.
There you go. There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now, because you have a personal role to play in this. We're recording this on Wednesday, but people can hear it on Thursday, and you're doing something Thursday night.
I am. I'm tomorrow night, Thursday, June 2nd at 6 p.m. I will be giving a lecture myself, not as the Speeds director, but as a collector. So for several decades now, I've been collecting Southern photography, works by other people. It's not my photography.
Okay.
Works by other well-known photographers all across the South of the United States, from the Civil War to just a few years ago. Miranda Lash, our wonderful contemporary curator, asked me long before, this job came up, if she could organize a show making selections from that collection and put it together in something, a show she calls Southern Elegy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the photographs have kind of a backward-looking component, looking at history and memory in the South, some of its complicated history around race and violence, but also its natural beauty and kind of romance.
Okay. So there's that sort of theme to the where do you collect these photos?
I mean, well, I grew up in New Orleans, and as I'll explain tomorrow, I don't know exactly why, but not long after I got a driver's license, I started visiting a gallery there where they sold fine photography by some of the artists that I've collected.
Okay.
And when I had Christmas and birthday money from time to time, I would make my way there and didn't know that I was starting a collection, but started buying photographs and then got interested in buying more photographs by more artists and eventually kind of took that out of New Orleans and now have enough to make up a show.
I was going to say, are the walls at your house bare now? And no. how many pieces are there?
Well, the show has, I think, 75 or 80 works, and it's not all the ones I have. So at this point, most of them are in storage.
Okay. Now, the bigger part, there's a national show. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Miranda conceived of this show, the photography, really as a complement to a much bigger show that she's been working on for over 4 years with another great curator from Duke University named Trevor Schoonmaker at their museum. And that show is called Southern Accent. And that show features 60 artists from all around the South, not even all of them who live in the South, but really addressing the question of what the South means to them. A huge number of really prominent and amazing Black artists, artists represent immigrant culture, LGBT culture, kind of the culture of food and music, representing all these different facets. There is, of course, no one South and no one Southern accent, which is the title of the show, reminds us. What the show does is really invites us in to look at the 135 works of art from these 60 artists. And they're inviting us to ask, what does the South mean to them, and talk about what it means to us. We want to use this show to literally invite everyone in the community in to come try and find how do they make sense of their own Southern accented world by looking at this work and hosting conversations. This show obviously deals with some of the most challenging issues in American life. We have a number of works that relate to Confederate memorials. The Louisville's own Confederate monument was removed from the Speed's doorstep last fall. The city of New Orleans is dealing with this issue right now. There's a video piece in the show that relates to the Robert E. Lee Memorial and a monument in New Orleans, which Robert E. Lee was just removed from. So, but that issue is just one of the ones that Southern Accent invites people in to sure. think about.
Sure. Wow. Well, you know, just talking to you for the I don't know, third or fourth time, Stephen, I sense a sense of excitement in your voice in terms of this project and what you're doing.
Well, these shows are exciting, as you can tell. I am really jazzed about helping work with the people here and the community to figure out how do we fulfill the ambition of how much can a great art museum mean to its city. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really excited about showing the city what a great art museum can do for it, mean for it, how we can reflect what's already great about Louisville, its welcoming spirit, its can-do attitude, but also be part of what helps move the city forward in important ways.
Yeah, well, it's all very important, and it seems like, you know, I remember before last year when it was when the changes came and the new look was here, and I had Gilan on the show for the opening, and it seems like the Speed is much more visible. I guess, you know, certainly that's a credit to the people around here on the staff, but a lot of people, I think, do you find a lot of people that would not come to an art museum are now interested in the Speed?
Yeah. I mean, again, to reference these numbers we were able to look back at for our first year since reopening, the 130,000 plus people who came interestingly reflected the entire community. Mm-hmm. So in racial makeup, it's in gender makeup and age. It's really, I think they're telling us that they're feeling welcome here, especially on the free Owsley Sundays. If you come in here, you see Louisville. Okay. It's not just a East End crowd. It's not just what you might think of as a museum crowd. It's Louisville here, and that makes me really happy.
Thanks to those most interesting people, don't you think? Stephen Riley over at the Speed Museum and Amy Attaway with Kentucky Shakespeare. I really enjoyed meet and talk with those folks today and share that with you, as I do each and every week, 204 consecutive weeks. This show is also a sister show called Eat, Drink, Talk. It is also on the Louisville.am network. I just want to point out to you that the interview that I did with Todd Ants and Eric Morris about the Fest of Ale is on that podcast this week, along with Steve had an interview with a guy named Josh Durr, who is an expert bartender, characterize him as. Urge you to check out that show, and did see a piece of news about troubled Goss Avenue Pub. I thought Steve wrote a piece about it a few months back. Successful it was, how great the food was. Well, they're closing. They're closing. According to the story in Insider Louisville, someone has bought the building, and the ownership group running the Goss Avenue Pub, apparently happy to sell, get out of there. So anyway, that's what happened there. There's a whole bunch of more stuff about restaurant at eatdrinktalk.net. So check that out. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I want to thank my sponsors once again, the Passport Health Plan folk, have always been nearly the very beginning, and my good buddies at the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue. 502-589-1500 is the number to call to get your appointment, to get your eyes checked. So you can see, I did one thing this week. I have to use reader reading, and instead of going to Walgreens every other week and buying a pair for $10, I went to Amazon, bought this great pack, seven or eight pairs of glasses for $20. It was really good. I've only lost one or two of those so far, but you know, that's what you do. That's that at this age, at my age. I have to urge you to check out LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. There's always some good stories there, including some that I spoke about earlier here. And if you didn't catch this podcast at RustySatelliteShow.com, go there and you'll see a picture of me and Amy Attaway at our interview. We had a lot of fun. We ended up putting that together. So thanks again to the Louisville.am network. Check out some of the other shows on this podcast network. Good. Urge Dick around and remember to come back to the Rusty Satellite Show once again next week when we'll have another episode featuring the most exciting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.